close kind of a mentality. But, you know, I've been thinking for a few weeks, like what Mark mentioned, there's going to be some tough decisions and some guys that are going to be left behind coming up pretty quick. I'm just curious to see what we can backfill with. And can we, you know, can Jordan Bone get stronger physically and mentally? Can he get mentally a little tougher?
Mark, that's a great question. How much stronger or bigger or tougher in one summer can a guy like that get?
Oh, I think with the facilities they have over there, yeah, and the coaches that they have, the strength coaches, the dedication of the individual player, and I know Jordan Bone's work habits are very good. Mm-hmm. I think it could mean all of the difference to see him come out next year and look like a different player. But I think the caller brings up a good point about backfilling, is that they're going to have to backfill this team with a fifth-year guard. Because if they don't get a fifth year, like Coach Jones said, a JUCO, Tony, we're sitting here next year at a 500 team again. I really do believe if we don't get someone to come in and run the point. And even with the guys they got coming back, because every team's going to say they're better next year.
Right.
But we're going to be right back in the same situation if we don't improve our point guard play.
And I think that's, and unfortunately, Sergio, I think that's just my read on this deal. It's a guard game. I mean, the truth is you can't have enough guards. You can have too many forwards, and we're about at that spot as well. You cannot have too many guards.
Yeah, Tony, and it was disappointing that we waited a whole year for Lamonte Turner, and then this is what we got. That's been the biggest disappointment all year was that. So, guys, I want to leave you with it. Let some other callers come call in, and I'll refocus and start heckling on the baseball diamond. But I won't use players' names. I will use courtesy.
Please.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, we don't want to upset anybody. It's a right, Mark. You never got heckled when you play baseball, Mark.
Oh man, I was a walk on at UT back in the day, and people heckled me. And the thing is, as a student athlete, if someone said something that was funny enough, that you would sit there and go, "That was a good one." You may not react because you don't want to let them know. But you're like, man, where'd he get that from? And this was before the internet age, and you know, where they can find out everything about your family. But if the hecklers were good, you kind of like that.
Hey,
you know?
Tony Jones, you're not going to believe this, but the great Marky Boy Griffin went out for baseball one year, and it was kind of lean years with the baseball team.
I heckled.
He pitched, Tone. Okay. He pitched against Frank Thomas with an aluminum bat in his – I was at the game – with an aluminum bat in his hand. Frank Thomas, earlier in that game, hit two of the longest home runs. Tony, I'm going to paint a picture for you. He hit one to left center field that I think cleared the transformer across the street, that little power plant. Mark, am I lying that's one of the farthest home runs you've ever seen hit in your life?
It was one of the farthest ones
I've
ever seen.
It was absolutely, it left the park and the thing was still going up. Anyway, Griff goes out there, and then we'll get Jay in here. Tell the story, Griff, when you faced him, because Tony Jones will love this.
Well, I grew up, my first love was baseball, and I was pretty good in baseball, but I was a right-hander, and I had some teams look at me to come out of high school. But since I committed to UT and signed with UT, and I wasn't getting enough money to go to college, it wasn't really an option. But I always wanted to play. So after my junior year, I walked on with the team, which Tennessee was terrible back then. I mean, we were the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
But I had a chance to come in middle relief against Auburn. And first guy I was up against was Frank Thomas. I think there was two outs and brought me in. And here's Frank Thomas with a couple guys on base. And it was 3-2 count. And all I remember is I just reared back and threw the ball as hard as I could, struck him out, and pointed at him and said, "Sit down!" And in front of everyone in the stadium, and we're, you know, getting beat 9-2. And then, of course, our team, we just start laughing, which was what was really cool, because we're getting beat 9-2. And here I am, you know, they called me just Griff, and I struck out Frank Thomas to end the inning, but it was one of my highlights. And of course, Frank Thomas is not going to remember that because he did two home runs. He didn't care, but it was a highlight for me and for me to just talk crap to him. we laughed about it after the game. I actually went up to him and talked to him, and he was really kind. But it was a highlight because I was afraid that guy was going to knock it to the moon.
Tony, the guy told Hall of Fame, the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas, to sit down.
I can just imagine. You know what? I bet you Mark could throw it through a brick wall as big, and he probably how fast was what type of speed you have on your fastball, Mark?
On the guns, I was upper 80s.
What?
But not in the 90s, or I would have probably gone a different direction. But just, you know, I was away from baseball for so long after my senior year in high school until my junior year in college, and I never picked up a glove. I played softball, like intramural softball for fun against most of the frat guys just to get out there and mingle with what I call the normal students.
Did you have a better arm than Brock Osweiler?
I don't know. I mean,
oh, you throw a heavier ball than him.
I
Jeez
don't know.
Louise.
He's an interesting character.
That guy couldn't hurt somebody with a snowball Saturday night. Jeez Louise.
But it was fun. It was one of those things.
You'll never forget it.
When you're growing up,
never
and you're just like,
it.
Hey, I want to try something.
Yep.
I don't want to be one of those guys when you're 40 or 50 now, like look
me.
Back and go,
like
well,
me.
Wish I'd have did this or I could have done that. Yep. Well, no, you couldn't have if you didn't try.
My freaking whole life, Tony. That's how I am. I beat myself up every hour of every day. It's awesome. You ought to be there for it. It is a sport.
Like, what if you were the SGA president, right?
Right.
What would you
have
done?
Tony didn't even know I ran for SGA president.
I knew that.
He's got to know this.
I used to go to class, Tony. You'll get a kick out of this.
Go ahead.
Listeners, and I'd go to class, and it was those old desks, and you could write on the desk, and it would be like, Basilio for SGA. move the seats. Move the student seats. I think that was your campaign.
We were making fun of the deal. I was making fun. It was a joke candidacy.
But didn't you? Wasn't your campaign about move the student seats?
Hey, God bless. My thing was pure comedy. Great seeing you, man. My thing was pure comedy, Mark.
Did you have a shot? Did you have a shot to win? Did you get any votes?
Pure comedy. No, I was just there for pure comedy.
But wasn't your campaign to move the student seats?
Yeah. I got. I only lost by 200 votes. And if I would have won, I was thinking, I got to figure out a way to get out of this election because the last thing I want to do is be president. Let's go, and thank you for the call to Sergio. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. And Jay is up next. Jay, hello.
How you doing?
Hey, Jay, welcome in. Appreciate you being there.
I play a little basketball in my time, and and like Griff, I walked on a year at Tennessee. I want to tell you something. Coach Jones is being nice about Coach Barnes. The thing that's bothered me, and I certainly understood it early in the year and through about the last week of January. You know, pulling these players out for every damn little mistake they made. Rather than letting the player come out of the game and sit down and go over there, and if you got a problem with what he's doing, you go over there and tell him on the bench. This thing addressing down players as they come off the floor is, in my opinion, horse shit. And I'm as old school as they come. And I played for some coaches that would dog cuss you in a heartbeat, and I understand some of that. But this, I understand why this team kind of checked out the last 3 weeks. And, you know, I don't like players quitting, but I certainly understood why they checked out on him. And another thing, you know, there at the end, you know, Bone was having a pretty decent game, was hitting some shots, and what happened? Barnes pulls him out. And then you're wondering at the end of the game why he doesn't want to take a shot. Well, hell, he'd sit, I don't know how many minutes in the second half. And that ain't the first time that's happened. When Bone would start getting in a little bit of rhythm, they, you know, some rotation or some little something he did wrong, and he's over on the bench. What do you think about that, Coach Jones?
Hesitant in that last possession. And I thought that he had an avenue on one of his possessions of
right.
his book. But I think, I don't know if it, Mark, I think Mark said it, hot potato. That's a terminology
yeah.
we use collegially. You know, don't treat it like a hot potato. Don't try and get it out of your hands before you even caught it. And that's what it seemed like our guys was doing.
Right.
And that's a great point. I thought Jordan was going to take the possession on his own and try
yeah.
and drive it and then maybe penetrate and kick, boom, speed, but that didn't happen. And that may have been because he was kind of hesitant because he had sat on the bench for a while.
And you know what? And to your point, to our caller's point, the thing that really people tell me is that you want basketball to be a game that's loose, and you want to encourage creativity, and you want to encourage and not inhibit. And I think there's a line there, isn't there, where if I ride you too much, I inhibit your creativity. If I don't ride you at all, I'm going to let you get away with doing some crazy things. And so to Jay, you know, and I respect all y'all's opinion. Jay, you tell me, isn't there a kind of a fine line there? Because here's the thing about Barnes that we knew. He was a player's coach before he got here. He obviously has changed his recruiting style, and he's decided, I'm going to coach hard. And what, Mark, one thing you say about watching him in practice, and Mark, you've seen it frequently in practice, you tell me he coaches his ass off in practice, yes?
He definitely runs the show. I know there were some rumblings that, you know, he was just trying to find a home to retire and not be as involved with his team. But
yeah,
it's definitely his team. Now, I will give him credit, too, in the sense he does delegate to his assistants to help build their confidence and help them down the road so they get some experience.
Can you pop guys enough?
He was on them.
Can you pop guys enough that they check out on you, as Jay said?
I think Jay brings up a great point. You know, he said he's a former ball player, and I'm sure he experienced that as a ball player. I know I can speak personally. When I played at Coach DeVoe, one of the things that I did not like about Coach DeVoe, he rode you so hard offensively that you're consistently looking over your shoulder. It takes away from your self-confidence. Now, you can ride them defensively.
Yeah.
I think you can really ride someone defensively and not check out as much, because I really do go back to, I think defensive wins games, and you're going to see that more during this tournament time. Defense and guards are going to win this tournament.
Yeah.
Stop.